I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not having crutches at the moment. So what I'm having is, so we had a long problem about not finding out why the time syncing up between the relative time in a summarized section and the absolute time didn't correspond and stuff, and we found it was some stupid, well, at the moment our best guess is that it was some stupid Java thing about if you have two objects and you say object, if you say A equals B, they actually reference to the same thing. So any changes you make to one are made to the other. And if you do that around 5 quarters, you lose track of it and you suddenly wonder why that value is zero. And it turns out it is zero because it's the same thing that you... Anyway, so we figured out... It's interesting, why don't I have a screen here now? Actually, that's new, but that's okay. It's doing different things all the time. Like, this is the first time that I...
No, you don't have it on your screen.
But that should be okay. That should be okay. I'll be able to...
Normally, at least on Windows machines, it goes through a cycle. So if you press... whatever the key combination you...
Yeah, but last time I pressed the key combination, everything went wrong, and I think I'll be able to do it just fine on the screen, so that'll probably keep me from pointing on my screen.
No, it's not
doing
anything.
It might just be at this point, like there's sometimes a point in loading, not usually that long. Well, let's see. Anyway, so let's just see what happens. In the end, we did get it working.
Maybe try.
With
the Windows machines, there's a cycle.
Yeah.
So that if you press it once, you get it on both your screen and the projector. Another time, it takes it off your screen.
So now I'm having a complete mess of like split screens and stuff. I think last time.
Oops.
Oh well. Yes, but that's not what we wanted.
No.
So, but I think this is a logout command. And usually, it resets this. Amazing, strange color combinations I see in front of me at the moment.
Do you want to try rebooting? That seemed to work before, didn't it?
Yeah, we somehow always get it working in different ways every time. So that kept us, like, basically from doing anything else for quite some time in the last day because we were hunting down the stupid error. I got it fixed in the last, whatever, 1 hour or something. But so at the moment the program was sort of in between working and not working because we've done lots of changes to try what the error was. Dave, I think actually that the summary at the current moment isn't working 100% correct, but that could be because of the input data. It seems to just take the first utterances more or less.
Just
you can move up a bit.
Like if you read through the summary, they read suspiciously fluid, like as in people's questions and answers, and if you plot them on the screen where they are at the moment, they
it
seem
depends
to
depends which data you use as well, because if you use the data where they're all written high, it does prefer one from the beginning because it just picks the first one to find.
So maybe that's where the problem is coming from.
But I'll check it out.
Yeah. So this is when you start shifting around your laptop to think that it gets somehow less sloped on the screen. So I'm not really sure what this meeting is about. I'm going to show this just what we have at the moment, but it's not going to look very different from what we had last time. Don't ask me what happened to the promise that you'll get your script where you can use your own stuff, because actually that was sort of ready, but then we sort of started trying to get something more working, and then we got into big problems. So at the moment, I mean, again, we should be at a state where we can load their own script.
I've got time now, for the next couple of days, so I'll do something, because I was just too busy last week.
Thing is, at the moment it's just really bad for me, but from Monday on I can just do 24/7 for this one until it's due, but until Monday it's going to be really bad. Like, it can probably help people if they have problems with getting what we have running now, but let's see.
All right, let me know things.
Okay, so I'll just start it up what we have now, then we can talk about what different people have and stuff.
So that's creepy over the screen.
Huh? Doesn't look great, does it?
Eek! Yeah, it doesn't. But sometimes you have to take whatever you get and then just see how far it gets you.
That's really weird, it just started creeping on you.
Yeah, so let's perhaps in the meantime talk about the numbers really signed with the dialogue acts, because yeah, I didn't know that you left out those who don't have words, so I just extracted the actual dialect numbers, and the problem is it's perhaps more dangerous to get mistaken with all those numbers and not knowing why things happen if we just leave out numbers and make new.
Well, as long as the two correspond, then
yeah, sure, but for all those numbers that are based on words, I can automatically just throw those where it's nothing, but those dialects at like 33 in the first meeting, they have a duration, even though they don't have a word. So for my other measures, I get them, and I don't, I mean, I would have to look for every single word program that looks for every number and does the mapping.
It would be easier if there's a reference file with the actual real ID and the corresponding number.
Yes,
is there somewhere?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, in the raw text index direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was to mark between the different IDs.
So would that solve the problem, basically?
Yeah, I just wondered why do you think it's necessary at all to do that?
Because the whole program works on them being numbered at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a problem if there's no.
It'd be a lot of work for really no extra feature gain at all.
But actually, I think there is something in the audio, shouldn't there? If there's even though there's not a word, I think in the audio there will be something at that point because it has a duration.
Well, so you think it could appear in the summary?
Hmm?
If it's something in the audio, it's just like a noise, and then we don't want it.
Yeah. So you can't
throw
it this way.
Cut it out.
Yeah, you can cut out the ones that don't have any words, I suppose.
But would that not happen? Would that not happen at summarization anyway? Even if they're in, the like, would the ones that have no words and then not have really low information then do something?
I don't know. Because the thing is, it depends if we want to ever display the whole thing at once.
Because you'd reckon that you could leave them in and they would never show up in a summary anyway.
If you left them in, it wouldn't affect the way the program works.
Why do you have a special ending for those?
Well, my guys in the program is just, they're not in the raw text.
It's just because they're quite a blank line, it seems a bit. But I can put them back in.
It's just a question I wanted to ask.
Either way is fine by me, as long as the two things tie up, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter whether those are in or out.
Well, wouldn't you think that if we just write the problem the way that even the way that it displays everything, it still leaves those out? Like, if you give those a special information, then the idea of just putting
like minus one or something.
Yes, something like that. And then just make sure that summary, even in the most summarized mode, just never puts them in.
Might be a problem for me at this stage right now, because I base everything on not having those.
Actually,
yeah,
it's a
TF idea in a sense. Yeah, my topic segment doesn't like black things.
So maybe we should just omit them.
What I also did was having two people annotate the first meeting, and so they didn't annotate them in the spaces, and everything would mess up. I think if I had spaces for the new value, so when I wanted the correlation, it wouldn't work anymore.
And it's maybe should leave that one.
Okay, should I take a quick look at the crowd?
What I could do is work further with what I've got now, and then just when I have my final formula ready, I can apply to the new stuff.
So,
by now, how did you assign the dialect number? Did you take the one you found in the in the XML file and just, you know, put it there, or did you?
No, my GFIDF is based on Collins data, so I end up with the same.
Okay, you end up with the same.
Yeah, it is actually,
okay.
It is jumping now. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so the summary is probably okay, because it does.
Yeah, just it's a summarized, just no, it's just it's summarized stupidly, but at least it's jumping.
Yeah.
Is it
sure.
Still the old?
Yes,
yeah,
in fact, at the moment, I don't even know which of the two I'm summarizing over. Do you know? Are we
I can't remember which one it is at the moment.
So at the moment, the configuration is that Word importance file is test 3 and TDIDF
yeah.
file is test 2. I've just switched them around, so I have no clue what we're actually doing at the moment.
Those names are misleading. Well, the TMIDF
yeah, especially since
word
I've just
importance is completely misleading.
Especially
word importance
since I've just switched them around anyway. But that's okay. By the way, I read a paper which makes an important point about combining two things of that type. It's basically it's going all about this fancy kind of geometric mean, which effectively just means multiplying them. But I have some good information about different ways how you can sort of weight two different factors, because it's for something very similar. Somebody who tried to solve a very similar problem, but they also had two factors and they wanted to weigh them together. And there's like a good justifiable reason why we should do it in a certain way, and how we can then with a simple parameter adjust how much one weighs and how much the other weighs. So there is something for just for putting them together in a relatively simple way, but still a way that we can sort of justify.
Mm-hmm.
We can code stuff on that.
It's
yeah, shall
very
we
complex.
No, it's multiplying them. And like putting them one
so
over
power.
The power of something and the other over minus
I've
one.
Seen that before.
One minus the power of something, and that sort of. And they plotted some graphs about like where they show like one going from 0 to the
yeah.
one and the other going 0 to 1, and like how the landscape changes, how the parameter changes, how it works. So it's quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So that's probably seeing that we're probably not going to go into any whatever base, blah blah blah, macro model, blah 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 about combining them.
No.
That's probably what we could go at. Now this is still not ideal at the moment, David. It's sort of it's overrunning. Like it's okay. So
yeah.
At the moment we are that far that if I now click onto a segment here.
Oh, it's all working like it should do.
Yeah, it's just wait. Sorry, I just resized it. Yes, it's like the values are sort of hard coded for the screen sizes and dice and my screen small. So let's see, I was a stupid user and was clicking on this segment. We probably have to make the segment last a lot bigger. So then did I get a new summarization? Yeah, I didn't actually see, so that it looks like a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see it's a different text. And
I
you see
it's
running through it, and so you see the indicator in where we are is jumping.
Yeah.
So it's skipping stuff. Now, I don't think the summary at the moment is what we want it to be seeing. They were like, oh, and exactly, right, sure. This seems probably, this is again probably the opposite of what we want, so it's probably some value that you have to like divide by one divide by the value or something. But
having said that, it's picking out some interesting stuff. Like we're looking at Atlas, you'd expect to score quite
yes, but also every other word in that sentence, we should look at, are probably in your list of 50 like least important
yeah,
words in the universe.
Atlas,
so. Yes, but it's probably just because if you look at the other one, like this is just their best sentence for like having function words in a row, sort of. And every other, I mean, this one, sort of, they're developing a big infrastructure. So maybe it's just doing it randomly at the moment, I don't know. But we have some summary working, and that's a good basis to start from. So I promise now that you'll get something where you can set your own data, and it's sort of bringing
I'm just quite surprised it will actually work because I've been working. We've been working on like incomplete versions that haven't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
And see it will come together.
Yeah, still it's might be having some problem. I think this one overran just before, so we might still have some problem here that it's not stopping at the end. But so Dave, can you promise and I'm not making the promise realistically that the girls will very soon get
yeah, I'll do the first thing I'll do is make a lorry box for selecting.
Okay. Yeah.
And a script that sets the class path so it can be run.
So at the moment I've hard-coded it to just taking 1/10 of the number of utterances which were in the original selection.
But we don't have parameters of that.
Yeah. It actually gives you an error if you put it to 20 because there's some things in there which are shorter than 20. And if you select those then it's
then we need to add some sanity checking and so on.
But I think like a proportional one is probably no bad idea. That's, I mean, an absent length is sort of a bit strange because that means that some utterances will not be changed in length. I know we had that discussion before and I'm confused myself about what I think about it. So the fact that this is going on beyond that green line here is something that's not ideal, but that's something we have to sort out. But this is working in general. Does anyone have a general overview of the whole time issue, like, as in, what date is it today? What date do we have to have this presented? What day of the week is that? And issues like that. So the presentation is now.
Presentation is exactly in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today. Okay. 1 week from today, I shall hear the freedom ring from the hills and everything, and shall then throw myself into new slavery.
I think we should start to think about evaluation by now. I mean, if you want to have some.
But we don't need it evaluated for the presentation, really.
Yeah, but it's just 3 days between the presentation and.
Oh, because it's moved back,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
No, really?
Yeah.
And the report?
Yeah.
I can rope people in. There are a few people at least.
You think we're going to have 10?
Yeah, I think we should have.
As long as we design
it,
as long as we design it beforehand, I think we can probably manage to actually do it in the 3 days after. So you're talking about.
But we also have
yeah.
to write the thing in that time.
Writing the report won't be so bad. How long is it expected to be?
I don't know. It's 50% of the mark.
I know, but if everyone. Like if everyone is managing 3 pages for their bit, then that's going to be that's a big report then. Yeah, but evaluation. Oh.
We should probably write some user documentation because I bet that'll give us marks.
You think?
Yeah, and then not
plus minus.
Because we'll just write you a little code
file. Or like integrate tooltips, that would be visible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, got a basic search one. It's got a user interface. So
have you in Java
yeah.
docked it?
No.
And also, where is it?
I'm still in my directory.
Because the
directory.
Code version in the group directory is not the right.
Yeah, I've not been using that. Yeah, I've just been taking the class files from your directory.
Okay.
Having said that, Dave, we could probably, if we want, we could probably go back to the group directory and just use this trick. It really seems to be all about starting in the
directory. Yeah.
But I mean, if the two of us are just working on it, it doesn't make a difference. I've already mounted your directory now, so.
Okay. Well, we should wait till we have it ready for you guys to use, and we'll put it back in the group directory.
Mm.
So I'll try and do that today. If I've got time today. As long as I don't run into problems, I don't see it taking too long.
The summarization again, you wanted to base it on sentence length as well, and I've got sentence length incorporated into my importance measure at the moment.
Well, in that case, that's probably fine. I mean,
but if we do it twice, it wouldn't make so much sense.
Yeah,
but I think how exactly you want to implement
it. I'm not sure how much should be done in the program because I don't know. I think it should probably be done offline.
What?
The basic combining rule factors.
Well, if it's just multiplying two numbers, it can be done in the program. Then we
yeah, sure.
Because what we could do is have a slide where we can adjust this value. Actually, if you can figure out a way like how basically a general way, because there's at least 2 points at which we are interested in that, how we can just have a slide bar which we can read and write, which is in a frame of that type. That would be, but it shouldn't be difficult, should it? I mean,
hopefully we can take over that rate one because we don't need it. That
yeah, but it might be more difficult. Let's see. You could, if you're lucky, you probably just have to extend that class and then you can work with that value. But if you're unlucky, it might be quicker to just write a very simple string component, which is just a
okay.
bar.
You can just add it to the panel. Like, what? I bet that's a pre-made swing component, that little slider, and all you do is hand it to the panel.
Yeah. So because we basically, it would be good to have two different ones to play around with. One for controlling the length of the summary, and another one for the merging factor, if we do it that way with the geometric.
Can you send me a link to that paper so that I would implement that in some writer?
Yeah. It's just a single formula effectively, yeah. How's the audio thing going? Is that you've probably not had time to work with it?
Yeah, I've like last week and it's not going anywhere. But I can't see it taking too long again.
Okay, it seems that at the moment a lot of the stuff that has to be done is sort of at the moment I'm saying, oh Dave, can you do this? But that's not ideal.
But to be honest, I've been like nothing really on it last week, so. And I've got time today, tomorrow, probably Friday.
Okay.
So.
Because I think, I mean, the audio is, in the end, the audio is a very important component of it. Just because it's going to look stupid if we have everything working, but just.
It's just annoying because I need to do that on the DICE machines. I can't get them to compile on the Windows.
They're speech tools?
Yeah. And most of the DICE machines don't have working sound cards. So.
Is there any way for exporting sound?
No idea.
Because that would be sort of a nice way to sit at home and have it.
Yeah.
Forward the sound at the lowest bit rate to you. I mean, seeing that it's over broadband, it's forwarding the graphics quite okay. It would probably, like, broadband wise, bandwidth wise, probably work out.
I'm not sure if it can do sound or not.
But it's probably not a simple thing.
But like, what I can do is, I'm pretty confident that it will just be writing a script. As long as I can test the script like once, it's working fine. I can just make it return dummy stuff so it works on other machines.
Yeah, are you not creating files anywhere, like sort of real files?
Yes, so.
So that you can do in a DICE machine independently?
Well, actually, I know what I can do. I can change the script, so if I'm using my one at home, I can just add SSH stuff in to evoke the sound tools on the ice and then copy
yeah.
them back.
One problem with SSH in general is that the machine that, like, the only gateway machines, they hate you for doing anything on them.
Yeah.
And there's no simple way, I haven't found one, directly in a single step sort of SSH and then SSH again. Actually, I guess if you put SSH and SSH, you know, you can give a command right after the word SSH. So if that command is SSH again,
yeah.
And if you, that would require that you have all your key files set correctly, which I haven't, because it always fucks up in my system. Maybe if you get that working, then you should be able to directly go into another machine.
I'm sure I can figure out something.
Yeah.
If it comes to it, I'll just install NetBeans and stuff on my Linux machine and work on that.
Yeah. The primitive version of the sound to have relatively soon would be good.
To be honest, there won't be a primitive in between stage. It'll just work.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
In theory, at least.
So to come back to the problem we had before, so the reason why the summary didn't work well in the last one and works well now is because based on the bottom data, the data is so homogeneously high in its important tracking that it's just sort of then everything else being equal to the first ones, more or less. But now it's working better because now it's on a much more evenly distributed.
I wonder if we should do something like dropping the bottom third and remapping the lowest remaining one to zero and scaling it like that.
Well,
so you get a much nicer distribution like that.
The most professional way of doing it would be to map them according to the standard deviation, because that way it would automatically always. It's sort of like it's the problem is it's more calculation expensive and slightly more complicated, even though it's actually like in terms of calculation it's not much. Have you ever, like, you know, generally about standard deviation?
I've not used it to do that before.
It's a very simple formula, basically just whatever the average of mean square differences from the mean or something, which the problem with it is that generally you first have to get the mean, and only once you have the mean you know where
there is a way of calculating it.
In one go.
Yeah,
I've derived that.
I've
derived that myself, like I didn't find it, so I did it myself, and it took me a day with the formula, but then I'm slow at maths. So the good thing about that would be that if you simply say that whatever, one standard deviation below the mean is 0, and one standard deviation above the mean is 1 or 2 standard deviations or something, then whatever the data is like, it would always normalize.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good idea.
Yeah, it's not the simplest, but that's the most professional way I can think about it. That would indirectly also drop stuff, I mean, that would drop whatever is below.
Yeah, that's probably quite sensible.
So if you find that formula, that would be good. Otherwise, I can see if I can still understand, like, I did it in my program. It's really stupid, like, the standard deviation formula just requires you to have the mean initially, and that makes some things exactly twice as computationally expensive. And there is a way of doing it
Yeah, I can't remember it offhand, but I know there is one.
So, yeah, so that's one possible way of doing that.
But it could be perfectly fine. I mean, running out data twice, probably.
But that's just in the loading stage, right? Yeah, that should actually be fine, especially in the worst case, we just introduce a small hourglass. But anyway, we're only going to present this once, and we can probably just like sort of start it up before the presentation starts. So we shouldn't at all be worried about it. It's actually quite beautiful. It's like if you want the program only to run once and only a part of it. You don't worry if it crashes afterwards, if it wastes all the resources, it formats the hard disk in the end. Anyway, I'm rambling on.
Ours never closes the process.
No, I changed it, actually.
They used to not close the process when you click the cross.
You would forget that. That means that you would start it 15 times over and have 15 zombies running. Does anyone know anything about which dice machines have sound cards and how to find them? Because the thing is, we can, like this at the moment, it's working because it has a sound card. The interesting thing is that because of the structure of this, it isn't enough to just say, well, if you don't have sound card, you don't have sound. At least I think that's what I remember our problem was.
Yeah,
that
it refuses to load the clock for some reason.
So I've worked around it. There is ways, I think, to get around it, but the problem is, so you basically have to have two code versions, then one for sound card and one for non-sound card machines to test it on. Because you have to change all sorts of other things if you don't have a sound card. So there isn't a simple way to just tell which ones the sound card machines are, just to use sound card machines instead.
Yeah. That makes it really quite difficult for us if we want to test our stuff, and first have to fight for a computer.
No, but I guess, I mean, if you trust in Dave's summary for the audio, just putting all these things into sound and having
sure.
a written summary.
I just care for the written one. Does that
you
work
still get
without
yeah.
the plot?
Yeah,
so
the
only
yeah.
thing
yeah.
you don't get is the plot.
Yeah. So
okay,
I think that
yeah.
really the easiest way is if we just make a sound card and a non-sound card version of it. Because
I don't think we should bother because we'll run it on a sound card version.
Yeah, but then that means that the ghost can't test it. That's the problem. Like,
yes, we can.
Yeah.
All that happens, it refuses to load the clock. You still get the display.
Yes, but without the clock, you don't have. Well, actually, you're right. It doesn't strictly have to do any movement.
So the
yeah,
yeah the move. I mean, you can still click on the segments, and that will still work.
Yeah, but we have to comment stuff out for that. I think, like at the moment, if you click on a segment, it automatically sets the whole clock thing going and stuff. So we have to comment out stuff. That's what I'm saying. That there is. We could make it a flag, couldn't we? We could just make it a runtime flag and then make a few ifs and say if.
There must be a way of detecting what the clock's loading with like.
Yes.
In fact, there is.
There
you
is.
Can try and set something on the clock and you try and catch, and then if you catch the exception, you set the flag.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's something we should probably do in one way or another, because it seems to us that the overwhelming majority of dice machines don't have sound card.
Okay, we want to have a look at the agreement and disagreement data that I worked on last week. Or do you have anything more on this?
No, nothing much to talk about this. So apart from like a search box and the similarity thing, once that kicks off. This is more or less in the end, like this is very similar to what our product will look like in the end. seeing that realistically with a given time frame we're not going to do amazing new things from now on. So we hopefully
perhaps my list of agreements perhaps my list of agreements somewhat.
List of agreements?
Yeah.
Or you can put like
if we find them good enough.
Okay.
We
yeah.
could provide that in the next list saying probably
yeah, I think it would
putting
be good.
It
could put good in the display if you annotate them in the display.
Yeah, for example, yeah.
Yeah, we could just
can
make
you click on a point in time in the display. And
not just
display
yet, but that should that's probably the only thing I can say I can do this week because that should be I mean I do it in an inefficient way, I'll effectively sort of go through all the segments and check if they're clicked on. But I think that what we should do is that time click of the clock, I think that's changeable. And I think we should probably increase that because at the moment it's 0.1 seconds. And that's just, there's some background noise when it's working. And I think that it's because it's like doing so much every time.
Okay, I don't get that on my machine.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm not sure if you have the version with the display yet, where the display is actually updating up here when it's
no.
moving on. So I mean, yes, it is because my display is programmed inefficiently, but I think that at a given time constraints, it's probably easier instead of making a very efficient display code to just make the time, make the clock, whatever, 0.5 seconds, something. Do you want to monitor?
As long as you can skip more accurately than the time steps, that's fine. Because otherwise you might risk cutting bits off.
If I can skip more accurately, then
like if you want to jump to a point, you need to be able to jump more accurately than half seconds. By half second, you miss words.
Are we still with that idea that we want to display bars for the individual speakers?
Yeah.
Okay. And also
it's a bit small, but I don't know why that is.
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
It's probably because it's coming from my resolution and it's. You have much higher resolutions.
Yeah, but because it's widescreen or something. Yeah. But
okay, what you see here in this part is no mouse, yeah. Just yeah. Here is a list of the most important or yeah, most probable words that occur in agreement. So the number in the first brackets is so I run it on all the BED, BMR and BRO meetings to learn it. So the number in the first brackets is how often it occurred in the utterances that were annotated as agreements by the dialogue act agreement. And the number in the second bracket is how much it occurred in the rest. And the first number in every line is how much more often that is per same text length. So the words that it gives are look quite good, I think. It's yeah, exciting, perfect, true, interesting. Exactly, correct, super, and so on. And then I ran it on the first meeting, getting so what's in the brackets in this window here is the utterances. And at the moment it can't make any differences between, I mean, you get the same value for every utterance that is exactly, or every utterance that is sure. And for the longer utterances, I just look how often one of these words is in there and simply add it up. So that should, in principle, favor longer utterances. And yeah, and so these numbers here, 1 or 0, these here, and that's. The dialogue act labels, whether it's if they're annotated as agreement,
there are not zero here. So here, for those who get a, that get a very high score, they're mostly not zero. And some of those who are zero are still very good, like I definitely agree, is a nice kind of agreement that we probably want to have. And when you get further down, yeah, you see those who have very low score also have no agreements.
Again, I think that's probably a good part if we had a slide bar initially where we could dynamically adapt the threshold of what
we display, yeah.
Yes, so maybe it's just like, maybe it's just good to have like some generic component with three slide bars or something where we can relatively easily add a fourth one or something, you know,
yeah.
And just like sort of all our fiddle factors. And
obviously we'll hide that in the presentation.
Well, it depends. We could, like, in some cases we could put it as a feature and say, you know, you can dynamically
well, we don't want. I don't think we want to have exposed the user doing things like adding the threshold.
We wouldn't call it threshold. It would be sort of like the granularity of decision, something like it. So
decision factor.
Yes, and everything above that threshold, I could then at the appearance where it occurs, just put a certain graphical item like a handshake or something.
Yeah.
That does look quite promising.
So it looks quite good, I think. So that's what I got for agreement, then for disagreement I did also, but it's a bit more difficult because there's so little disagreement. Yeah, so I again see the list, but it's much shorter and it's much
yes, I was the same, like it's so tempting. yellow smiley and yellow angry faces. beautiful.
And that is here the list of utterances it gets us for the first meeting.
Didn't somebody say that actually like a lot of agreements have actually words which are such as disagreement, like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we have but write it so high here.
Yeah. That makes sense. So can you
think is also write it higher in the non-agreement than in the agreement.
So
and
would that
some
produce basically an agreement and a disagreement score for every dialogue app?
Yes. Yeah, that's
so
okay.
So can you put them in the same format as the other data?
Yeah, it's just,
and
I mean, it's exactly this
to read it
thing, but just, I would just have to rescale this factor here. And I mean, this is the dialogue app number, so.
Alright, okay. So I can probably read it from
yeah, I can just give it to you in the format you want. So
my preferred would be dialogue app number.
And then the score, yeah, this was
you
just
can put
for
both the scores
it
in one file.
Huh?
You put both the scores in one file if it makes it easier.
If they're corresponding for each thing, yeah, they should be. Right. So for each utterance, you have one
agreement
and one disagreement.
Yeah.
So I'll read that into, I'll make it part of the get measure thing, so you can just get it with a flag, using get measure.
Oh, okay, yeah. The one where
so
we
you
have
know how zero is TF, IDF, one is the, well,
yeah.
I've called it word important, so that's a really
you know what, if you can, if you introduce like sort of a static, what's it called? Public static int, so basically a constant, like that's just a constant, give them names, like so 0 to the IDF 1, that probably makes the code a lot more readable for everybody who's playing around with it. You know what I mean? So just like whatever 3 means agreement value, and then I just write something agreement, and then it's easier to understand for both of us what's going on.
Yeah.
One problem I still have is with all the years, because I mean, obviously they all write it the same, so I was thinking perhaps at looking at the acoustic measures I have, so for example at my F0 deviation, but by now I just had a look at the year data, and actually the average F0 deviation is only slightly higher for the positive ones than for the negative ones. I mean, there is a difference, but it's probably not significant enough to really make use of it. But
I would also
investigate some.
But I would also.
Yeah, it's occurring not only as an agreement, but really frequently as like an encouragement as well.
Yeah, so and my hypothesis was that if it's really, yeah, like agreement, it would sound different than if it is just a back channel.
But you know what, I think we should put the threshold for that in the end quite high anyways. It probably doesn't make much of a difference because I think this thing.
But that has nothing to do with the threshold.
Never
because
like
you don't have it only with yes, you have it also with words that are much higher ranked. You have the same problem, like for example, with yep is much higher ranked because it occurs less often in the training thing.
But I mean, the fact that different ones have the same number in itself isn't a problem, is it?
No, it's only if they're used in different contexts.
So if for every yep you'd be sure that it's an agreement, then that wouldn't be a problem. So you're saying that you're not sure if every yep is an agreement? Yeah.
Yes, I know that not every yep is an agreement because this right yep and okay things are typically also actions.
And what's the highest ranked one that kind of problem occurs with? Because if it's below about, because I saw those ones up in the 80s, wasn't there? Maybe it's below like 50. Exactly.
Yeah,
like
you would throw a lot away that are quite good.
Because
if you would say it,
we probably take quite high, so it only matter if it occurs on ones that are really highly ranked.
So over how many different, over which length is this now? This is like, so the third column is the utterance where it occurs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we really do have to put the threshold quite.
Yeah.
Because
well, otherwise you'd get icons all over the place.
Yes, I was just checking, you know, like how far apart are they? And at the moment, that's definitely not a good thing to display if they're like an average 10 utterances apart or something.
Yeah.
So we will probably want to take a threshold at least at 50 or 60, just as a looking at that.
I think for this meeting, there were. Around 90 annotated agreements, or yeah, agreement dialogue acts.
Mm-hmm. So we probably wouldn't want to display 90. We'd want to break them.
The best ones are definitely those on the first screen here. So.
Again, I'd say probably a good way of going about that question is to have control which we can vary in the
yeah, see how it
and then just sort of, because that's in the end how it's going to be evaluated. You know, in the end, this is kind of like, I mean, you're going to present it and say, yeah, so this is how it shows the agreements, and then you see what looks good and what looks, I think for me, looks credible, like if every sort of every topic segment has
an agreement at
mm-hmm.
the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, or like something in between 3 and 5 agreements, but not more, probably maybe less, but not much less. So actually, I think there doesn't have to be one of everything.
Yeah. Probably have to plot them because some of them are also, I mean, this is just added by different speakers, for example, where immediately following one another is just 2 speakers agreeing, I think. Same for this one here.
So yeah, we probably want to merge ones that are very close.
I mean, that will be optically merged anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but maybe in an expensive, or maybe in a stupid looking way there.
We should probably make some logic when it displays it.
Yeah.
So if those ones very close together. It just
yeah, I was just thinking they kind of just can probably be done on display level.
It's looking quite good though.
It's gonna crash. Mine just crashed, which is bad. We probably just kept on playing and now reached something.
I think it's always really funny that when you look at people's computers, you don't use a computer much, their desktop's really tidy. And when you look at people who use it all the time, there's stuff everywhere. So explains like that. So.
I only keep the stuff I actually need on it, and then I clean it up every, you know, every.
My God.
But actually, this all here is an SSD because it was data that didn't fit on my quota anymore.
So, don't we want to have keywords for each topic segment or something?
Yeah.
Who provides the values for that?
I think sort of the bottom line, and which might well end up what it's going to be like, is that we take the single highest ranked utterance and put that as a title, like realistically looking at this from the time we have left to do this and stuff.
Because what I do is having values for each segment at the moment, so I could just extract the highest ones for each segment. I don't know if that's good, but could be, at least I could provide some value.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe even on a single, like, is that on a word basis? Would that be single words or would that be?
It doesn't matter to me.
Check out what they would be like on a word basis.
Yeah.
Maybe actually if there's one word which is very typical, I mean, it's probably somewhere like because that's like the only time that was spelled with three A and stuff. I think that actually that might be a problem of the whole annotation, that if they aren't exactly consistent in how they transcribe stuff like
yeah,
that.
Same
we're
thing with the rules and so on.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking sometimes, like why is mm high, but then probably it's the only time that mm was spelled with a dot at the end and stuff. So, but yeah, like if single.
Maybe we should download a dictionary and check our utterances before we use them to make sure that they're actually real words. You see what I mean?
I have dictionaries. If it's just like I have arbitrarily long lists from the British National Corpus of when you
that do not include mm.
Well, let's say at least they build it consistently enough that I think you can filter them out fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, see how it turns out. If they look good, then that's a good way of doing it, any of this way.
Yeah, so if like I mean, if the single best one word for a second. It's interesting, that would be really good. Seem to be
actually one thing you should do is take the highest three or four and then just merge them together into one utterance. It wouldn't make any sense, but it gives you an idea of what they're actually talking about. If you see what I mean.
So we're going backwards, you know, suddenly it's
really long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that was sort of in the original content in the nice fancy drawings that you gave Stephen. I mean that was part of it, that sort of within a segment you had these sub segments and each of them had different words and whatever happened to our dreams.
Yeah,
other assignments. No, I don't think we
have. Which is a shame. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, are we gonna have time to make it display like an old archive of meetings? Or is it just gonna be displaying single meetings and we look
at
that
one? This is lame.
Poor man's solution is probably going to be to have a
just
list.
Draw a big black line on the borders, I think.
Mm.
Oh, so you're thinking of loading them all at once?
Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It can display from any utterance to any other utterance. It doesn't really.
Yeah, you see at the moment the dialogue IP is they start at 0 for each meeting. You don't mind.
Yeah.
It continues for. But you'd like them to
yeah,
be
like
continuous.
Like
yeah.
Even though
you will provide a file with all the mappings.
Yeah.
And
change the index
all
back.
To the
okay. But is that way all we have to do this way on a meeting is have a harder boundary drawn?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that like the drawings we changed anyway though. It's not pretty optimal. Yeah, so performance-wise, it generally works fine. For the display, it shouldn't make much of a difference, because I think everything in the display code is just from the first until the last one displayed, so if the other performance is okay, then we should really just load the whole thing in.
One thing we will have to do is we really want a different behavior if we clicked on a whole routine. segment in that meeting. I think it should reinitialize and display that just that meeting. I'm not sure how easy that would be to do.
See, that probably just means that the display sort of has an internal knowledge about what level of zoom it has. So initially the display,
it just needs to know whether it's displaying more than one whole meeting, doesn't it? That's the only knowledge it would need.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, we can sort that out if we have time.
That's probably fairly simple to do, actually. We could do it in that most primitive way of just saying as long as you display more than one meeting.
Yeah. That gets sufficient to claim that we've implemented some kind of zoom as well.
Yeah. We then need some way of getting back up again in the hierarchy, but then in the worst case it will just be a static sort of error button in the right hand upper corner of the display, and you press that and then you're on the display the whole thing again. But for that, at the moment, my display code needs that thing to work, the one, oh no, that's working at the moment anyway, the one that I just say, give me 100 values over that length, and then you're internally.
Yeah, it's not done in a very clever way.
Okay, but yeah, but that's okay, as long as my display, I was just thinking my display can't handle displaying a million different segments, but now, no, but it doesn't have to. Even now, it doesn't have to. Okay, well, that's all details. So, Dave, can you just turn this, what we have right now,
basically to a code for me, isn't it?
Do you want me to put the search in too?
I'll probably tonight just work on getting a frozen version that
right.
Works consistently.
Yeah.
And if you could document it for me, that's probably enough for me to add it in. Unless you want to.
And if
on my code, I've not documented the program manager class, so it's a bit hairy.
Anyone feels that they have free time? This is a joke. One thing that would be convenient for all sorts of things in which I haven't found out about it is how to do tooltips in an arbitrary way in Swing graphic displays. Now, there are simple ways of doing tooltips over a given element, like if you have a button, you just give it a tooltip text. But there is means of doing tooltips that just, I put my mouse over, let's say I put my mouse over this line here, and then it would tell me something about what it is. That would be quite convenient for a lot of things, because then we can sort of have a lot of information in the display in the way that just when the mouse is over it. But I haven't figured out how it works, and that's something that probably, so if everyone is ever bored, or if anyone feels that they can do that.
Okay, so probably what you want to do is detect where the mouse is and change the default tooltip for that component.
Yes.
Because it automatically displays at the correct position. Hover.
Yeah, but the thing is, it isn't simply an act of setting a string default tooltip. There seems to be something about a tooltip object that you have to create and give it all sorts of different properties and stuff. Or
you might not really want to be creating a new one every time you need a mouse.
So anyway, I haven't looked much into that. So if anybody looks into that, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll start looking into it as soon as I have time again. But if anybody,
I'll have a look through some of my Java books, because there might be a sort of thing there.
Yeah. I found some stuff about it on the web, and it just looked to me like proper coding. Like I saw half-page code samples, which effectively just displayed a tooltip, and I didn't have the time at that point to get deeper into that. So if anybody gets any good samples, so. Anyway, is that it for now?
Is that version all in there?
No, but I'm going about an hour now, and I have my external hard disk, so I can.
So I'll stop working.
Yeah. Is there any dice machines in this building?
Mm-hmm.
Really accessible for me. Can you show me where? Because I'm actually not going to have the tower at the moment, so I don't have to go. Actually, no, but I have to go there anyway and put a piece of paper into machines or some stuff of my own. Yeah, and I think like I'll just keep in full time for NLSSD next week, because there's nothing I have to do then. Apart from cognitive modeling, which I think I'm just doing like 5 hours, 3 hours. Can you take a look at that?
Yeah, but not too detailed. So.
Mm. I might just not go for the last question, because usually the last question is what takes half the time and 55%.
things we're gonna talk about in evaluation next week.
We really need to get in contact with the other group and see if they want to join evaluation.
Yeah.
So you can get their email addresses.
Yeah, thanks on the panelists, it's the webpage.
Really?
Is their names and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
So you do send them email, 'cause I was hoping that Steve would mention it to them, 'cause we've mentioned it to him so many times, but he obviously hasn't.
No, maybe he has mentioned to them, but they just never talked to us, and we didn't talk to them, so. It's sort of coming as a shock to me now, because I was sort of in this mindset, like, I first knew, oh, there's a lot of time between the presentation and the report, and then I knew, oh, now the presentation has shifted, that the correlation between those two facts, the interdependencies, there's some fancy planning language about that.
There's the frame problem.
Yes, it's probably some version of the frame problem. Frame plot problem hasn't been clear to me.
I think it's coming together not bad at the moment, actually.
Mm. And by the way, how long, how much time do we have for the presentation?
Probably as long as we need.
Yeah, but more like 20 minutes or more like an hour.
Well, I reckon
can't
that
see it going on for an hour.
I reckon that
yeah,
from
I mean, if you present the components or what it's based on, then you will need more than 20 minutes to present it. Yes.
But if you just present the functionality of the thing, if you're not
yeah,
like I don't think this presentation is about the internal working. So
yeah, it's a demo.
Yeah. So for a demo, I think realistically, since everything in this university sort of works in 1 hour slots and stuff, so it's just two groups, and it probably it's got to be roughly
yeah.
a half an hour-ish.
Yeah.
And like 10 minutes of that before you set up time or something.
Hmm?
10 minutes of that before you set up time or something.
No, why? This is going to be so bad, like there's going to be some small...
Well, maybe you should present it on your laptop, because we can be really sure it's running.
Yeah, but the performance is really bad at the moment in that window. Plus we would have to get the speech tools running on my laptop.
I could probably get my computer in. I could get some good middle.
Yeah, well, let's see. It could just be fluent on the laptop for all I know. I mean, like at the moment, it's not too bad. Apart from, I think the sound is stuttering, and that I think because of the laptop. But we can only really judge that once we have sound.
So I don't need to bring a monitor or anything. I just need to bring a box.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure I can make a laptop sound.
How fast is this one here?
My computer.
Mm.
It doesn't have Linux.
So NetBeans would run on. Anything but
or Jenga.
Yes.
In fact you shouldn't need Mini Dive or something like that.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
washing machine should be fine. But it all relies on finding some way of getting the speech tools to do that job.
Oh crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's because that's the thing like that would rely on
Singlet maybe.
I just told you it's a good idea to run the speech tools in
in Singlet.
Mm.
No, but Sigwin should run the Java as well.
No. Wherever this is going doesn't sound good. Can use my laptop as sort of like as a server. As a sound server, but that doesn't still mean that we have to get the speech tool running on it. Now, you know, I think, I mean, the way Java works is that I think it'll run on their dice machine if we do it.
Yeah.
If we should definitely test it the day before.
Yeah.
And she'll let us
test
her before we do.
So Dave, are you gonna make something primitive that people can load their data in?
Yeah, I'll do that today. And I'll make a script to run it and put that in the group.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what needs to be changed to make it work with to make the mod crash if it doesn't sound right. There's quite a bit you have to comment out for that. Which is stupid.
There'll be a bit where it creates the clock. Or is there starting the display as well?
The thing is the display calls methods probably spectrum. So I think if the display itself isn't doing anything clocky, so as long as in the program manager everything clocky is removed, but it might be worthwhile to check how much more work it would be to do it over a flag. Then in the end, because otherwise you always have two code words and people might be changing their
own. Really, you shouldn't even need a flag. You should be able to do it with exceptions. I mean, that's kind of not the exact case that exceptions are made for, really.
Yeah, that's true. I know that like if you don't do the exception, you actually get crashes. That's what you figured out. Like, if you don't have a sound cut, it crashes if you don't do sound. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, did you see in the program manager, do you have a method to set the current ID? Sort of update the display, because that's what I'm going to need to in there and get the set of results.
Oh no, it's going to have to be something a bit more complicated than that. What it'll have to do is deregister everything as time handlers and then update and then re-register them.
Right.
I think the display has some method for it. I'm not like for the program manager then to call, I'm not actually 100% sure what it's called, but the display has some method where you tell it to start and return.
Yeah, well, as far as I've got at the moment, I've made a results class that's got like ID.
Have you got a component for displaying lists of matches?
Yeah, yeah. What I'm working on.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's not too hard to do. All you have to do is deregister everything that's a time handler first.
Right.
Before you add the stuff. But it depends what behaviour you've got. Do you want when you click on a search result?
Actually,
Yeah, and it might not be there.
Yeah.
I was thinking that
maybe a problem. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was thinking it's exactly the same thing that happens when we say set selection. It's not, but actually, set selection does everything you want, sort of.
Yeah, if you look at set select.
No, but set selection doesn't update the display, though, because.
Does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't tell the display which part to display, because the display is just called set selection.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If it's job to in the end text area, then you'll just look at the line will jump, right?
Yeah, but that only works, that at the moment isn't done through our system, that's just done because then the time changes. So actually a time change would automatically put the position of the display in the right place. No, but that's not a good idea because that could well be outside the displayed area then.
And also the real time play time stuff will change.
Yeah. So we
need to reinitialize the display.
Yeah, and I think the display has a method for that ready, which is called. Anyway, the display is something useful for that. Something before we start with the word set. Yeah, you can set the window start utterance and window end utterance.
Yeah, we need to do something to ensure that the search result is in the summary.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So we probably want a different summary constructor that takes an additional argument of an ID. That utterance will always be in the summary.
Alternatively, there's always the method of just giving it a really high score as a hack, you know, just. As long as you then don't, well, probably people wouldn't know.
The trouble is that still doesn't guarantee it will appear because if you get enough of them, they're high scored, it prefers the first one
well,
to sees.
You could put 1.1 and the other ones on the top of the one.
Yeah, that's what it's.
But no, it's not a nice score, I'm just saying.
You keep when you're doing a search, you keep just like sort of zoom back out until you've got the full text for that segment or anything rather than a summary. Because that's maybe what you'd want if you were to use it.
Yeah, probably that's actually true that if you're doing a search, you're usually not interested in a condensed way, but in the full thing anyway.
Otherwise,
it would be too complicated to cope with the system if you have to readjust it to a different zoom level to get better results.
Probably.
Yeah,
the way
behave strangely in the eyes of the user.
Would be to make a summary that's the same length as the selection, and that would ensure that the search.
Yeah.
I think proportion, like even though I'm always getting myself confused about this, but I think sort of making the summary length think generally proportion, like as a proportional factor of its original length is a good way of going about it, because anything with absolute length is sort of stupid. That means a long, long segment gets to 1% of its length and another one gets to exactly the same length and stuff. So if you're doing it by a proportion, then just having 1.0 or something makes it very easy to always end up with. Actually, that's what I've currently, like, the current code just takes a tenth of the summary length.
But we'll have that slide.
Yeah. And that's the type of slider that we can actually leave in and, like, show
that's
functionality.
Easy,
yeah, that's sort of, like, your level of soup of impending doom. Shall we quit here?
Yeah.
Anything to be discussed? Okay, so I'm gonna copy.
And I'll start working on say 2. I'll be done with it.
Yeah, otherwise you'll be left and you see me and everything, so
okay.
I'll just
did you go to the CM lecture yesterday?
Oh yeah, I think you're, I didn't actually, well, I sort of was staying because I couldn't really get out of my seat, but I was falling asleep again. And it was, no, I don't have it with me now because I left my order at home.
Did he present anything useful about?
Naive base, it was.
No, I mean about the system we're working on, with Weka system.
Well, he started Weka once, and he sort of went quickly through what he do, but I didn't pay very much attention on that. And so it didn't look to me like he wasn't doing an overly thorough introduction to Weka. It was just a 10-minute, very quick, this is how you started, and
had a look at it, and I was wondering if there was any documentation or anything at all to figure out what.
I think there's quite a few people from courses that have. I think there's quite a few people who have done courses that do a lot of Weka stuff.
Uh-huh.
So testing might be a team up with those. They can make any sense of it. I can't allocate more than like really like half an afternoon to CM now.